Today we are talking about the article Living With and Beyond the Terms Patient and Survivor, a lived experience discussion of terms used by young adults with cancer written by Youth Cancer Europe and Outpatients members. If you've ever, struggled with what to call a friend or family member navigating a diagnosis, well, this deep dive is for you.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at how, like, the casual words we throw around actually construct a person's reality.
Right, exactly. We tend to treat language as just a descriptive tool.
Hmm.
But in healthcare, a label can it can either hand someone the keys to their own life or, you know, lock them in the trunk. The identity pushed onto someone fundamentally shapes how they process their daily reality.
Yeah, so let's look at the default setting for a moment, which is the word patient.
Oh, sure, the most common one.
Right, and whenever I hear it outside of a hospital context, it gives me this mental image of someone just, like, permanently stuck in a waiting room. It kind of strips away all their agency, you know, leaving them as someone who just waits for things to be done to them.
Yeah, it makes sense when you are physically sitting in a clinic, filling out a form or actively receiving care. But applying it to someone's entire existence is incredibly reductive, especially if, say, they are managing a chronic cancer or if they finished their treatment years ago.
Which is a huge portion of people.
Exactly. And the article highlights the startling data point where researchers looked at people 5 to 15 years post-diagnosis, and a full third of them still felt trapped in that patient identity.
Wait, really? Up to 15 years later?
Yes, 15 years. And here's the mechanism behind why that matters. Holding onto that specific identity strongly correlated with higher rates of depression and, like, a noticeable drop in their daily physical well-being.
Oh, wow. That is heavy.
It really is.
Just having a passive word applied to you over and over essentially convinces your brain that you are still sick, which then physically drags down your quality of life. I mean, I think we need a second to let that sink in.
It's a profound realization about the mind-body connection, for sure.
Okay, so if patient is too passive and, you know, actually harmful long-term, I get why people pivot so hard to the word survivor. It sounds victorious.
Right, it's the natural opposite.
But honestly, I struggle with it. Doesn't survivor just force people into this exhausting struggle language? Like, it turns their biology into a war zone.
The whole battle metaphor, yeah.
Exactly. And suddenly there is this weird unspoken pressure that they have to, like, win a battle against their own body.
The community actually created the term survivor specifically to escape that passive waiting room feeling. But your instinct is spot on, because the word ends up fracturing the very people it is supposed to empower. I mean, there's zero consensus on its definition.
How so?
Well, someone might claim survivorship the day they are diagnosed, while a medical professional might say it only applies after complete remission.
Which completely alienates anyone who isn't ever going to hit remission.
Exactly.
If you have a metastatic cancer that requires lifelong management, survivor feels like a finish line you are just never allowed to cross.
It really does. It builds a wall right down the middle of the community. And we see massive demographic splits here, too. Like, older individuals or men dealing with prostate cancer, they frequently reject the label altogether.
They just don't want it.
Right. They just want to live their life. They don't want their social identity anchored to, you know, a permanent state of victimhood or a relentless fight.
So we are stuck then. Patient is this passive trap, and survivor is this exhausting, polarizing, militaristic badge. What is the alternative here?
Well, the article focuses on newer frameworks, primarily phrases like lived experience and living with and beyond. And these aren't just polite euphemisms, you know.
They do sound a bit softer, though.
They do, but they fundamentally recognize a person's agency. They map on to the idea of a new normal, acknowledging that cancer isn't a neat linear story of being sick and then being cured. It is an ongoing integration into your life.
I hear the nuance, and I like that it gives the person their identity back. But realistically, I mean, patient and survivor are punchy, single words. Living with and beyond is kind of a mouthful.
It is.
Does anyone actually use that in daily conversation?
It is a massive hurdle, especially globally. Like you said, single words travel easily, but complex phrases don't. When you try to translate living with and beyond into other languages, the linguistic mechanics often break down.
Oh, I didn't even think about translation.
Yeah, in some dialects, the literal translation of the word beyond carries spiritual or afterlife connotations.
Oh, wow.
Which is the exact opposite of the present tense empowering meaning it has in English. So you lose the psychological nuance entirely, making it very hard to standardize across cultures.
Which means there is no universal cheat code here. If you are talking to someone going through this, you can't rely on a default dictionary label. You just have to, you know, listen closely to how they describe themselves and mirror that language back to them.
And it is so worth the effort. Think about it. If the labels we carelessly throw around literally correlate with long-term depression and physical decline, then changing our everyday vocabulary might actually be one of the most accessible forms of medical intervention we have.
That is a wild thought. It completely changes how I will approach these conversations from now on. So, want to learn more about it? Check the entire article.